Okay, so I'm not necessarily someone that has a hard time sleeping. Like once I'm asleep, I have typically a restful sleep. I'm not really tossing and turning, but I noticed, and I think we were talking about this on the podcast, like I was getting into this really bad habit where I was falling asleep on my phone and I just knew there was no way that was good for me. Like I consciously was aware of the fact that this wasn't good and I was doing it anyway. And then I started to use Hatch, which I'll tell you more about in a second because the hype is very much real. But I will tell you that I really do notice a difference when I wake up because it just feels like more of a restful sleep than I even knew was possible. Like I would have told you before this that I felt that I had a pretty restful sleep. And I think that I did, but this took it to a whole other level. So the thing is, like, there are so many things that want to keep us up at night, whether it's social media, our to-do lists, our favorite shows. A million things don't want you to sleep, but Hatch does. And Hatch helps you choose sleep and creative bedtime habits that make you feel better at night and energized in the morning. By the way, that's the thing in terms of energized in the morning. I was waking up to this like very jarring phone alarm, as I'm sure many of you are. And I had this moment where I was like, it doesn't have to be like this. And it doesn't. With the Hatch Restore, not only can you wake up to kind of a calming sound, but also the sunrise light. It just feels very peaceful. Like you have to try it to know what I mean. But once you try it, you will get it. And with the Hatch Plus subscription, you can unlock premium routine building features like Cue to Unwind, which signals you when it's time for bed, and Pillow Talk, which is an audio series, kind of like your favorite bedtime TV shows without the screens that keep you up. Because again, that was my thing. I wanted to get rid of the screens. I am such a fan of this, and I've gotten it for so many people, and it has been so beneficial. Right now, Hatch is offering our listeners $20 off your purchase of the Hatch Restore and free shipping at hatch.co/CBC. Visit hatch.co/CBC to get $20 off and free shipping. hatch.co/CBC. So we just want to take 1 minute to tell you guys about Bravo's Below Deck Mediterranean. I feel like most of you are familiar with the show, but if not, I'm going to tell you about it anyway because it is a must watch. If you follow the account, you know that we post the Sunday night Chrissy Teigen Roundup, and she's often tweeting about it, so it often makes its way into the Roundup. Basically, if you've never seen Below Deck Mediterranean, it follows a group of 9 crew members who live and work aboard a mega yacht, and they're serving these wealthy and kind of uncompromising charter guests. So Bravo follows them as they undertake a new charter season in the French Riviera, which is literally the pinnacle of yachting. And each episode is kind of different in that it presents a new group of guests and a new set of challenges for the crew members to have to undertake. The boats are big and the personalities are even bigger. It's interesting because, you know, the long hours and the high stress of having to cater to these people above deck, and then we get to see below deck the kind of tension and politics between the crew members. Personally, my favorite thing about the show is that you can pick it up at any time. So there's no need to have any, you know, previous season knowledge to be able to get it. And every season, there are these wide-eyed new crew members that join the fan favorites. So Captain Sandy is back, who is the fearless leader that doesn't put up with any BS. Jump on board with Below Deck Mediterranean. New episodes every Monday at 9, 8 Central, only on Bravo. Or catch up anytime on Bravo On Demand. Hi, guys. I'm Emma.
And I'm Julie.
And we're the girls behind Comments by Celebs. And welcome back another week. This one, I feel like we just want to preface by saying, for some reason, the stories this week are like pretty intense. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah. First of all, I thought there were none. Like when I was doing the outline, I texted you. I was like, so nothing happened this week. And you were like, some stuff happened. I was like, yeah, but nothing that we care about. And then all of a sudden, it was like a million things that we care about.
Yeah, a lot of things happened. So we're going to try to keep it as light as possible. But I'm just warning you, some of the stuff is just pretty heavy. So we're just going to get through it. In light of that, though, we're going to start with not our biggest news story, but just one that brought us happiness and is definitely light. So Rihanna, for kind of the first time, I feel like in a while, spoke about marriage and kids. So she was interviewed by Sarah Paulson because they were in Ocean's 8 together. And for Interview Mag, Sarah interviewed her. And Rihanna's been dating this billionaire, Hassan Jameel. They've been dating since June of 2017. We don't really see much or hear much about him. Very private, other than like the random shots of them on a yacht.
Yeah, and like it's like either them on a yacht or them at like a basketball game and like, yeah.
Yeah.
But
so in this interview, she said, of course she's in love with him. And when Sarah asked her about marriage, Rihanna said, and I quote, "Only God knows that girl. We plan and God laughs, right?
I'll marry her."
I know. And then she says, you know, that she does want to be a mother and I quote, "more than anything in life."
Again, which, she can be my mom also.
I feel like we haven't really heard Rihanna engage in a conversation about that, right?
No, we haven't. But I do know that she has nieces and nephews that she's very close with. So I'm not surprised to hear her say that by any means. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of maybe there was a time when there was everything going on with her and Drake that she could have mentioned, like, motherhood and that whole thing. But I don't think it's been a long time since she's spoken this candidly, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, also, it seems like from the very little we know that they have a really good relationship. I mean, they're both, she was just rated as one of, like, the top wealthiest female artist or performer. And obviously he's a billionaire. So, I mean, their life is just, she's cruising.
No, she's doing well.
That's why she's so unbothered when she posts about Fenty or something and everybody kind of comes at her like, great with your line, but what about our music? She's just so unbothered. It's
amazing.
She's the mother,
but she's the, I mean, there is no one I love more. I really have such a love for her, but I think everyone does.
But Kanye's up there for you.
It's different. It's like my love for Rihanna is very similar to my love for Beyonce. Mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. the same type of
love.
I love them all though.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to move on to story number two. This, again, it's kind of intense, but I feel like we have to talk about it. So Jessica Biel sparked major controversy this week after she posted on Instagram with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who he's known as a, like, anti-vaccine activist. And the internet went fucking wild accusing her of being an anti-vaxxer and because of this bill that she and Robert are lobbying against, which would tighten immunization requirements. So I'm going to read you the caption. I know it's kind of boring. Just bear with me for the next like 15 seconds because I think it's important. So she posted on Instagram and said, "This week I went to Sacramento to talk to legislators in California about a proposed bill. I'm not against vaccinations. I support children getting vaccinations, and I also support families having the right to make educated medical decisions for their children alongside their physicians. My concern with the bill is solely regarding medical exemptions. My dearest friends have a child with a medical condition that warrants an exemption from vaccinations, and should this bill pass, it would greatly affect their family's ability to care for their child in the state." And then she goes on to say that's why she spoke to legislators and argued against this bill, not because she doesn't believe in vaccinations, just because she believes in giving doctors and families like the right to treat however they decide. This was...
Even that caption, by the way, it only made things worse. Because, I mean, listen, I know a fair amount about vaccinations, but I'm not going to give my own personal opinion. But what everyone else was saying in regards to that sentence about her friend who has a kid that is exempt from vaccinations is that's the whole reason that vaccinations need to be tightened, because it protects those kids that can't get it. So, for example, if you're in a school and your kid cannot medically get a vaccination because they're allergic to it or they'll have a reaction or something, then the whole point of vaccinating everybody else is to protect that one kid. So it was just incredibly confusing to everybody, I think.
Totally. I think, though, like, Jessica Biel is one of those celebrities that has kind of always been, I feel like, and tell me if I'm wrong, if I'm just missing something, she's kind of, like, unproblematic in the sense of we haven't really heard major, like, scandals. I think, if anything, she's looked at in such a positive and admirable and, like, non-controversial light. So she knew damn well by posting this that this was going to spark something, which must show how, like, seriously, intensely she cares about this to be willing to submit herself to that.
Yeah, which I guess a lot of people could call that a delusion if you want to. The thing with it is, you're right. She is – that's why people were so surprised
by
this.
That's why I was shocked. Because she is
so unproblematic and doesn't seem to have anything. And this – you know, anti-vax and this whole vaccination thing is like one of the number one topics right now. And people are dying from this, from young kids who aren't old enough to get vaccinated being exposed to people thinking that they know more than medical professionals. And it's wild to me that she would do this. I don't know. I think it's crazy.
Has
personally.
Justin said anything about it?
No.
Yeah. I'm so curious about that.
So curious. I mean, people really like, because this is so much bigger. Like there's a lot of jokes out there and memes about anti-vaxxers and all of those things. And like, when it comes down to it, like, aside from the memes, it's so much bigger than this because it's people's lives at stake. And when you, like, hear celebrities start talking about these things, it just feeds more people into this, like, conspiracy theory. It's just so crazy. People were so, so caught off guard.
I think what's so interesting about it is because I feel like, you know how we go in, like, meme trends? Obviously, that's all we talk about. But I feel like right now, one of the biggest meme trends is anti-vaxxer. So even if you're someone that knows absolutely nothing about this, you know that word because of the meme. So you even if you didn't care at all, you now are more tuned into Jessica talking about it because you know about it, at least from internet culture.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a bold move on her part, but there's that. So just wanted to inform you guys on what's going on there. Second, this was also like super intense. I'm sorry, we can't control the stories. Ariana Grande was performing in Mac Miller's hometown of Pittsburgh as one of the stops on her tour. And it was obviously very emotional for her. And she apparently had like an empty seat reserved for him and a Mac Miller playlist that she played before the show, which, oh my God. And she, when she was singing the lyric about him and Thank You Next, she like broke down on stage.
Did you see the video?
Yeah.
It's hard to watch.
It's really hard to watch. And I got so pissed. I read an article that, or like a headline that was like, fans accuse Ariana Grande of dragging out Mac Miller's death as a way to, and I was like, are you fucking with me? Like, this, yeah, they weren't dating at the time, but she's who gives a shit?
She's in a lose-lose situation with this because no matter what she does, she's getting backlash. If she doesn't talk about it enough, she's not, like, caring enough. And if she talks about it too much, then she's using it to, like, for her own selfish whatever. It's just ridiculous. I think that she is so beyond affected by this and probably talks about it 1% of what she feels.
Probably because she knows that exactly that like negative view that people could look at it through. I completely agree. It's a lose-lose for her. It's so, I don't know. Watch that video and you tell me that she was, quote, acting.
I mean, and also, by the way, like no one goes on stage with the intention of breaking down during their concert, during their biggest song. I mean, that's the song that she, I was at the Ariana Grande concert, not that one. I was at Barclays Center. And that's the encore song. Like, she ends and then she comes back out and sings. It's like the biggest song of the night. She obviously, no one goes out there with the intention of like breaking down and crying during your biggest song. And also, I'm sure it was something that she was stressed out about before she went out. She knew it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where, like, you just know that it's going to hit you hard when it happens. And I think that, I don't know, that was as genuine as a video as I've ever seen.
I totally.
There are certain things you can't fake.
I totally agree. Okay, we're moving on now to Taylor Swift. So as you guys know, a couple weeks ago, she was very involved in Tennessee with getting the mayor governor to sign the Equality Act. And she's continuing her LGBTQ support and advocacy by releasing the song You Need to Calm Down. And it's very much, you know, like in support of LGBTQ, there are lines like, why are you mad when you could be glad, and control your urges to scream all about the people you hate because shade never made anybody less gay. So she comes out with this song and then she comes out with this music video. The music video was
dropped this morning.
Yeah. We're recording on Monday. So Monday morning for you guys is Tuesday. The music video had cameos from everyone from Katy Perry, which I'm going to get into in a minute, to Ryan Reynolds, Ciara, Jesse Tyler Ferguson and his husband, Justin Matika. Like
the whole Queer Eye, all of them. Yeah.
It was super, super big. Like it made a splash that she wanted to. So, and I want to just touch on the Katy Perry thing, and then we'll get into the audience kind of interpretation. But first, a couple days ago, we see that Katy Perry posts a picture of chalk chip cookies on a plate with the writing like, let's be friends. And she tagged Taylor Swift and Taylor commented like the hearts. Obviously, we posted it. That was a big kind of, you know, I don't know, tangible example as to their feud being over, although they had kind of put it to the side anyway previously. Right. So everybody is like, I sense a collab. And then she drops this video. Katy Perry's in the video wearing basically the exact same cheeseburger outfit that she wore to the Met Gala, and Taylor's wearing French fries and they're like together. It's this kind of, I understand the symbolism, but it just was kind of weird, I thought. Anyway, so in terms of the way that the criticism/support that the song got. So there was major, major support on the song because people were saying, oh my God, she's such an ally to the LGBTQ community. Like, this is amazing. This is what we need. She's so visibly supportive, whatever. She also, though, got a lot of criticism by people saying that she's, like, quote, hopping on the queer bandwagon in order to, you know, kind of put herself in a more favorable light. And people were saying that she equated, like, the feeling of being – the struggles that she feels as a celebrity with LGBTQ struggles. Is that correct that I'm just saying the interpretation?
That was a lot of things. There was a lot of things said. That was one thing that was said, was that she – there was a quote from an article. You can read it, but that's essentially what it was. I think everyone had really mixed reviews. Some people called it baiting. Some people
said it was amazing. I mean,
said it was amazing. It was. I mean, listen, I have a million and one opinions. As somebody who can't have a personal stake in the game because I'm not part of the LGBTQ community, I can't really say how it affected me or what my opinion of it is. I just don't think it's right. So I'll plead the fifth on this one. But I think that it's interesting to hear everybody's opinions on this and everybody's side.
Well, because it's so it really is one of those things where it comes out and there are some people where like they really think this was the best possible thing that could happen to like the most support that an artist could possibly show. And then the other side is like, absolutely not. How dare you kind of use it? I don't know. I'm just telling you what was said.
I think that I would say most of what I saw on the internet was in support of her.
Yes.
Most of it. I'm not going to like come out and be like it was entirely split, mixed reviews, but there were certain, definitely people who had a non-favorable reactions to the song. And also, I think a lot of people's frustration possibly with Taylor Swift doing this is that, well, what she's doing is amazing. There's no, I'm not going to say that like what she's doing isn't incredible and like clearly with good intention, in my opinion, maybe not with the best follow through sometimes. I don't know. I want to word that. But a lot of people's frustration comes from the fact that Taylor Swift was silent during the 2016 election. And now all of a sudden is speaking up. And some people could take that as a good thing. Finally, she's speaking up. Some people are like, okay, now you speak. Like,
right.
See, that's what a lot of frustration comes from.
I know. See, with me, that's always such a kind of like we were, it's totally different, but just kind of like we were just saying with Ariana Grande being a lose-lose, I almost feel like it's not fair. It's like, okay, yeah, maybe it wasn't right that she didn't speak up, but a lot of people didn't. And now, like, why can't we applaud her for speaking up now? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, then what? Like,
no, I totally agree with you. I'm just saying what I think that a lot of people feel. I think that no matter what Taylor Swift does, there's always going to be a difference of opinion. She's just a very polarizing person. And I think we have definitely
experienced that
and experienced both sides of the Taylor Swift fandom and the Taylor Swift
really dislike of her.
Listen,
we're beating around the bush a little here because we have been vocal in the sense that, like, we think that she's really talented. Obviously, she seems like a good person. But personally, neither of us are like on the bandwagon like everyone else is. But we're trying to speak about it in a light that, like, we get it. What she's doing is incredible. But we're also just showing the other side. That's all. I like hate talking about her on here.
I literally have never felt more nervous in my life.
It's so stressful for us because we're not trying to we're not trying to shade her by any means. I think there's a lot of validity to what she does, but we would be lying if we're going to sit here and be like, that was the best thing I've ever heard, because we just don't feel that way. We're allowed to have our opinions, but I feel like we're discussing it a lot more objectively than we used to, and that's good. Remember, we used to not.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen.
Yeah.
There's a lot I could say, but I won't. Let's leave it at that.
I think we should just move on. So we just want to stop to tell you guys about Dave.com. Overdraft fees, if you are anything like me, you cannot stand them. I believe that it's time for them to die. Those surprise bank charges over a couple of bucks in your account are useless, painful, and nothing but pure profit for big banks. But thanks to the Dave app, you never have to pay an overdraft fee again. So let me explain to you what it is. Basically, Dave is the number one budgeting app in America because it saves you from overdraft fees, tells you about upcoming bills, and can advance you $75 from your next paycheck with no credit check and no interest. The amazing thing about the Dave app is that it's literally $1 a month, which equates to $12 a year. It's way less than an overdraft fee, and you'll never have to pay one again. It can help you budget for upcoming expenses, text you if you're spending too much, and if you need cash fast, they can advance you $75 in just 90 seconds. Also, my personal favorite thing about this is that Mark Cuban is an investor in Dave because he got crushed by overdraft fees in his 20s, and he wants you to never pay an overdraft fee again, which a Mark Cuban endorsement to me, I mean, what could be better? There are 3 million people that currently use Dave to save up to $1,000 a year in overdraft fees, and that's why it's the number one budgeting app in the App Store. So go to dave.com/celebs. It really helps the show if you let them know you heard it here, and then download Dave and never pay another overdraft fee again. It's immediate savings. Go now, dave.com/celebs. It's spelled just like it sounds, dave.com, dave.com/celebs.
Apartments.com believes the dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. And listen, we all have our non-negotiables in terms of what we really want when looking for an apartment. I know for me, natural light has always been really important. I just know myself, and I am a happier person when I have that natural light throughout the day. And I also told myself that in my next place, I will definitely have a washer and dryer because you just can't beat that convenience. And I know it can be hard to find, but when you find it, I think it is so worth it. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
So next thing we want to talk about is Jessie J. So she, obviously you guys know, she's dating Channing Tatum, and she came out and spoke really publicly and kind of candidly about her own infertility and about meeting Channing's daughter. So someone asked her, like, if it was difficult to meet his daughter, and she said, God knows, she's just 6 and absolutely lovely. And then she told the Times that she's determined to be a mother. She said,
I might go down the route of adoption or even surrogacy. I pray that I have children the natural way, but if not, I'll deal with it. What happened was that she revealed a couple months ago that in November during a London concert, that's when she revealed it, that the doctors told her 4 years ago that she'd never be able to have children. By the way, I actually didn't know that. I didn't know that until I read this. So bold of her to, like, remember we were just talking last week? I think it was last week we were saying how it can be such a triggering question for women. Like, you think it's such a natural thing. Just like, oh, are you thinking about having kids? And you have no idea what that could do to them.
Yes.
And after we said that, we got so many emails from women being like, thank you for speaking on that, because I have been, like, I can't have kids for X reason, and I get a chill through my spine when someone asks me. So I wonder, I don't know the details of this, I wonder if this interview was – she brought it on, or if people were asking her based on her statements, like how it kind of happened that they were talking about this. You know what I mean?
I think that if I had to guess, you know, it was back in November that she said this, and maybe it didn't get as much traction as she thought. And maybe in light of this new relationship with Channing Tatum, people have been bringing it back up again. Do you think you guys will have kids? And I think that this interview was her way of being like, I already told you, and I know it didn't get enough attention the first time, so maybe we'll try this again.
Mm-hmm, totally.
But I mean, good for her. Like, yeah, to be able to speak, that's like not by no means an easy thing to speak about. And
I agree. As you guys know, at the end, we do the Kardashian recap, but we need to, I think this was like big enough that I want to just talk about it in the regular episode. So Khloe, Tristan, there was some drama. I'm going to tell you what happened. Jordan Craig, who is Tristan's baby mama and who had her baby while Khloe and Tristan were dating, came forward recently, and she said that Khloe's relationship with Tristan caused her stress and major health complications during her pregnancy. And Khloe then kind of came forward and said that as far as she was concerned, there was no cheating involved, and that Tristan went through like major lengths to ensure her that he was broken up with her. Khloe posted two stories, and I'm going to read you word for word because it's important. I know you've probably seen them, but just hearing them as opposed to reading them is a little different.
You're so good at reading. Thanks. It's like literally incredible.
That's what Julie says because she hates doing it. Okay. So Khloe writes on her Insta story, my truth is, I met Tristan because he chose to go on a blind date with me. A mutual friend set us up. After going on some dates, Tristan told me that he had an ex that was pregnant. Obviously, I was reluctant about us continuing to date or start a relationship. He pleaded with me that the relationship was over long before we met. He had me talk with his most inner circle. He showed me physical proof, which was correspondence between the two, and had me on calls with his lawyers to prove his point. His best friends, business associates, and even his mother told me him and his ex were broken up before we met. Then she writes, this is my truth, the truth that I believed and trusted. If for any reason this is not in fact the truth, I'm so completely and utterly sorry that Tristan and his inner circle would lie on something like this. I pray my truth is in fact that. Lord knows I pray, but now I really don't know what to believe. Truthfully, from the deepest parts of my soul, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for any pain that has been created either way. No woman deserves to go through anything like this. This is my truth. Right in the fucking heart.
Crazy.
We posted, the second this happened, we posted this in our Patreon Facebook group because I knew that everybody was going to be freaking out about it as much as we were. You guys, this was intense. First of all, this is like one of the first times that we've really heard Jordan speak out so publicly.
I imagine that Jordan has been dying to share her story. And I mean, first of all, I guess good for her for not speaking out while like Khloe was with him, because like it would have been so easy for her to bash Khloe. And I don't think that was her intention with this. I think it was just like saying that, like, if you're a month pregnant, no matter who your baby daddy is dating, whether it's Khloe Kardashian or whatever, it's going to be traumatic. But to have it be somebody so public and have it so thrown in your face, of course that's traumatic. And even if it was cheating or not, that's still traumatic for her. A lot of people weren't 100% satisfied with Khloe's response. I think they were like, okay, good, you didn't cheat. But still, it's like, if somebody has to go through that much trouble to prove themselves to you, isn't that a red flag? What do you think about that?
I don't know. Like, I totally – no. Okay. I want to be really clear. There is a 0% part of me here that's even going to remotely blame Khloe.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
I know you're not. I want to be clear in saying that. Like, the fact that she even had to post this story and the fact that she's still, like, included in this narrative and tied to this guy who is just such a goddamn fucking asshole breaks my heart. It really does. I think, if anything, what this showed was more so – like, I believe Khloe 100%. I don't think she's lying. I think that was the
truth. I don't either.
I think, yeah, I can understand what you're saying of like, or what people were saying.
People, not me.
You. No, not you. People were saying of like, okay, yeah, fine. But if he's so, if he was just with this woman, it's a little close. I get it. I also think that feelings get in the way and like real life happens and whatever. I just think this, what this showed to me was nothing new. It's just, wow, like Tristan is a fucking asshole. And here's the, like, here he goes.
I mean, if you think that's bad, let's go on to the second part of that story. Which is that he apparently was paying Jordan to not date anyone else and to make herself, quote, available to him while he was dating Chloe. So, I mean,
let's just take a moment of silence to process what she just said. Like, do you hear that? This guy has such deep-rooted stuff. I can't.
It's crazy because he is.
It's like, forget about anything, how much we obviously love the Kardashians. Like, just as a woman,
that's some.
He has stuff. Like, I feel for Jordan just as much as I feel for Chloe. I really do. Also, I read something where she was saying, like, she doesn't want, he gives more to True, I guess she was saying, than she does to their son. And like, she doesn't want her son to grow up with this complex of like, he's not the favorite, like Tristan is a favorite child in True. I don't know. I just, the whole thing makes me so sad. It really does.
Yeah, it's, I feel so bad for Chloe and so bad for Jordan that they're just forever tied to this person.
I feel the same way. And I know Chloe would say, or like one could say, if you're looking at it from the bright side, like she got a beautiful daughter out of it. And yeah, she did. Like everything had to happen for a reason because she needed True. And part of her needing True was she had to be linked with Tristan. And I think it will change her for the better and all those things. But still, he just does not seem like a nice guy. And I've said it every single episode and I'll say it again. If he wasn't as handsome as he is, like if he's so hot, I don't think he would have this. I don't think he'd be paying a woman to like, she'd be okay with just like making herself available. He's so hot. And I bet he's really good in bed. I really do.
He's got some sociopathic shit, though.
Yeah.
That is far past anything. That is like, you have to have a genuine, not even not caring, but a genuine want to hurt people if you're going as far as to do that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just like a level of narcissism that's so heightened. Like, I think that he thinks just really for himself and whatever that means. And whoever gets to hurt in the process, I don't think he's trying to hurt them. I think he's just only looking out for himself.
I don't know. There's a lot of,
we have some thoughts. Let's take you now to Britney Spears' closet, which was.
What is happening today? This is like the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. Was it the weirdest thing you've ever seen?
No, yeah, this was kind of off. So
kind of.
I don't know what to say. Like, I'm so saddened by it. So Britney, for the past couple of weeks, has kind of been taking to Instagram to, as some could say, like, prove that she isn't in this weird situation that everybody else thinks she is, kind of like go against this conspiracy. So last week her approach was attacking the paparazzi that she thinks they're photoshopping the pictures of her to make her look heavier. And she says, she posts a video of herself in a bathing suit. And she's like, look at me, I'm skinny as a needle, which never in my life have I heard that term. Have you?
There was a whole thread. There was a whole thing on Twitter and it was like Britney Spears as needles. And it was like the funny. No one has ever said that before.
Also, like, I feel like, just to speak objectively, her body, if anything, I think is so, like, toned and amazing. But I think what I love about her body is that she's not so, so, so super skinny. Like, she has curves. She has muscle tone and all that. And I don't know. It was just very bizarre. But anyway, she posts this video of herself in her closet. And she's like, guys, you're not going to believe it. Look what the housekeepers did while I was away. And she takes a video of her closet being all color coordinated.
It was like from the bat. It wasn't like, look what my housekeeper did. It was like, guys, I don't know. I can't even impersonate. It was like she was like possessed or something.
She's on. I feel like every single thing she does, she's reading a script. It was like, you know what that video was? When you're little and you decide, like, it's like your first time using your like parents' cell phone or whatever, and you get to make a video.
Yeah.
Like, it was like she was doing a scripted video.
It's bizarre. Everything she says seems so scripted and so like to prove a point. Like, for example, like, okay, there's that rumor that she can't have an iPhone. And just one of the things that she says in court is that she just wants an iPhone more than anything. All of a sudden, there's a picture of her with an iPhone conveniently placed right next to her.
Nothing else in the picture. She's on a yacht. There's nothing else in the picture, and it's the iPhone. Like,
they're not even subtle with the way they're doing this. It's just,
and it wasn't even an iPhone 10.
There is something so goddamn off. There's just, I'm sorry, believe what conspiracy theories you want. Don't, but you have to admit that something is just not right in this case.
Also, like, just to say, if it's her housekeepers that are doing it or whatever, like, I have never seen a celebrity with hangers like that.
I've never seen a celebrity with carpeting in their closet.
Maybe we're just spoiled. Maybe we're just spoiled by like the Tommy Hilfigers and Kris Jenners and Heather Dubrows of the world. But that closet was not one that you...
And by the way, my question is, like, first of all, there's two parts of this. Like, who, like... She's acting like she was surprised. Like, she just got home and the housekeeper decided to take it among themselves to organize her closet. When has that ever happened? Never. You never just get surprised by your closet being organized.
If you guys haven't watched this video and you're a little confused, just watch it and then you'll understand.
You'll see it's awful. It's not us just, like, reading too much into a celebrity closet and, like, being overly critical. It's just there's something so fucking off.
Yeah, I just, like, I don't know. I get so unsettled every time Brittany does something like this because I know something's off. I can't say it's, like, I don't know what it is, but it's something. That's for damn sure. Let's move on to some happy news. So A-Rod and J-Lo, as you know, just epitomize being able to, like, blend their families effortlessly. First of all, J-Lo posted for Father's Day. She obviously posted A-Rod and Mark, and A-Rod commented, like, Happy Father's Day, Mark. Just really cute. So there's a video of J-Lo's daughter, Emmy, running into A-Rod's arms, and he's, like, lifting her up and kissing her. It was...
I sent it to you 6 times because I was like, I want to talk about this. And I put in the outline because I just wanted to talk about it again. He is so sweet and so loving with them. And then there was that other, the video that he posted, that she posted for Father's Day, of him like kissing Max and Max sitting on his lap and him kissing Emmy. And like, I can't, I just can't. Every time I see them together, no matter what they're doing, even like his daughter and her daughter just like hugging each other at the concert and like dancing together, it's beyond me.
It's, you wanna know what it is? Like Russell Wilson vibes.
Yeah.
As you guys know, I know it's different, but Russell Wilson, the way that he is with... No, the difference here, there's a couple of differences. Number one, the way that Russell Wilson is with Ciara's son is...
My favorite thing in the whole world.
It is unbelievable. If you don't know anything about that relationship, you should really look into it, or like we can talk more about it if you want, because he really took that kid on like his own. The difference, though, is that I don't think Future responds so positively to that. Future is Ciara's ex and the father of that child.
No, he doesn't at all. There's a lot of issues.
There's a lot of issues there, whereas with J-Lo and Mark and A-Rod, it's like such mutual love all around, and I think they're all so happy. Also, like Mark Anthony, unlike Future, was never accused of not being a stand-up dad, so that's probably like he doesn't have any of his own insecurities of him being a father, so he's fine to allow A-Rod in, whereas I think Future comes at it as like, shit, it looks like Russell's taking my spot.
And the difference is, in my opinion, and the reason that it like resonates with me so differently, first of all, I love Russell Wilson's, like, you know, I'm obsessed with that relationship with Russell and Future. I think that he is so unbelievable to him, and like the most like thing you can do to step up as a man and a father is to like raise someone else's kid like they're your own. And the difference, though, is that Russell Wilson came into the picture when Future was a couple of months old, and it was like he's always been like this father to him because he's watched him just grow up his whole life. He's been there every step of the way. A-Rod came in a couple of years ago and the kids were already pretty grown. So for him to not only love them so much, but for them to then return that and take that on and like feel that paternal love for someone that's not their father and someone they met later in life is just, I don't know. I think it is the most incredible thing.
It is. And also, like, if you guys remember, I mean, Julie's like a very kind of diehard Yankees fan, and you were telling me this more. I didn't know it from like a baseball lens. I just like always heard things that A-Rod was always known as kind of like a dick. Like he just was. He was very self-centered. I mean, he had a huge ego, rightfully so. And I think that in light of J-Lo, number one, and the fact that he's no longer like the GOAT, like if anything, if I had to compare the two, who's like the greater of the two, like to me, I think she's on that pedestal.
And he would say that also.
So number one, being with someone like that who shines so much, and then like taking on this additional role of being even more of a father, it just softens him in a way that we really haven't seen previously.
Literally my entire Father's Day yesterday was like our family sitting, we were watching the game, we do every Father's Day, like our whole family, and they're like, who is this A-Rod? Because he was just known. He just had a reputation of being a dick.
Yeah, it's so
like
true.
And this is just a different person than we've ever seen. And, like, I don't know. I think it is always so unbelievable to see somebody change, like, for the better like that. And I could talk about A-Rod and J-Lo's relationship and his relationship with the family for literally forever.
Julie texted me yesterday. She's like, Instagram is hot today. And for some reason, I thought she meant, like, hot as in, like, a lot of comments. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, just, like, so many dads. And I was like, I know.
No.
Wait, John Stamos? No. John Stamos.
Instagram should not be open on Father's Day. It was illegal. Instagram turns into Pornhub on Father's Day.
Oh, but that is so... That should be the title of this episode. It literally does. Josh Brolin.
Literally John happy Stamos. And then besides that, it's like, let's not pretend our friends don't have hot dads, too.
We're not going to name any names.
I'm scrolling through stories and I'm like, all right, like, let's fucking go, Father's Day.
You know exactly who you are. When we were on Barbara Corcoran's podcast, she was like, so I did some research and I know that you like horoscopes and older men. And literally, I wanted to like send her like a screenshot and be like, this is why, Barbara. This, oh my God.
Oh my God. Father's Day is my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
Also, I love my own dad. Happy Father's Day to him, too.
Obviously, you know my dad's my favorite person in the whole entire universe. Literally, the Patreon is like, please, can we get a bonus episode of you and your dad, please? So I was like, okay, I can't get that yet, bud. And I, like, posted his little video collage of him that I did, and everybody was, like, getting it. They're like, Emma, we get why you love. I'm like, I know. He's the greatest guy in the whole entire universe.
Me, I literally spent my Father's Day on one hand, like, my dad was, like, fell asleep on the couch halfway through. We forgot to get him a card. And he's like, you didn't get me a card? I'm like, no, maybe we'd, whatever. Me and my sisters went in the other room. We handmade him a card. And it was like, and you thought we didn't get you anything. He's like, you guys are absolutely ridiculous. And then the other rest of my Father's Day was spent playing Words with Friends with Emma's dad. It was the funniest thing. We're both packed. Like, she's getting it from both sides. I'm like, what was the word that I played? A quiz and zits.
Yeah. She was like, you like that? He's like, oh, shit, she's pulling ahead. He's like, not for long. And then we, like, me and my dad, like, both took an edible. We were so stoned. And I was like, Julie, like, he can't play. He's not going to do well. It's like, you have an unfair advantage. It was so funny.
He won.
I know, he won. See, good job, Daddy.
So Mother's Day is coming up, and I know sometimes it can be difficult figuring out what to get your mom, because realistically, no gift is going to do justice for how much you love and appreciate her. But I'm sure you've done the classic, you know, bathrobe, candle, sweaters, gift cards. If you're looking to mix it up, I want to tell you about Aura Frames. So they were named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, and it's just the kind of gift that is guaranteed to bring joy, because realistically, there's nothing our parents love more than seeing us. So for them to be able to see more of us, even if you don't live close by, like, that is probably the best gift you could give a parent. They're Wi-Fi connected. They come with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's frame. And it's easy to set up. It takes about 2 minutes to set up a frame using the Aura app. We have one in my kitchen, and every time my dad comes down for breakfast, like, it just makes him so happy. There's pictures of me, and my parents when I was little, pictures of my grandparents. Like, I think as a parent, you never get sick of that. And it's just the kind of gift I know she will love. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code CBC at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay. Also, I feel like there's a lot of baby news today. So Andy Cohen was in Albany fighting for surrogacy legally in New York State and sharing his own personal story of his son. Obviously, he had his son through surrogacy, whose son is so cute.
So cute.
I had 0% idea that surrogacy was illegal in New York.
I had no idea.
Who knew? So the act that he's lobbying is called the Child Parent Security Act. And obviously, he's a huge advocate. It changed his life. And, like, I think in New York, don't quote me on this, is one of two or three states where it's illegal, which is so shocking because New York is so progressive in so many other ways. I don't know. I had no idea.
It was very weird.
Very. We also just want to point out that it was Barbara Palvin and Dylan Sprouse's 1 year anniversary. And oh my God. Every single time. No.
They're an amazing couple.
Amazing. He posted on
Hot couple, but sweet couple.
Sweet. Something that's really annoying that he does, which I get is something, some artistic freedom thing, is his entire grid is of this, like, image that I don't even know what it is. And then he always, whatever his most recent Instagram picture is, he leaves it up for a couple days.
You think
and then
he deletes it. Or archives?
Probably archives. But for as far as we can tell, he deletes it. So he posted a picture of her and he wrote, one whole year with Smoogie from China to NYC to the rest of the world. I'll save this happiness for private, but my life is better now. Oh, love them. Really do.
I know. I do too.
We're getting through, Julie. Okay. This next one probably only applies to Bravo fans, but I think it's interesting nonetheless, and I want to tell you about it. So Megan King Edmonds, she was on Real Housewives of Orange County. Her husband, she's 34. Her husband is 48. He is Jimmy Edmonds. He played for the St. Louis Cardinals, and now he's like a announcer. If you ever watch – let me just set the scene by saying if you ever watched the show, their marriage was always – not necessarily a topic of discussion because of issues, but he was just never that warm. Like, it always had this vibe of she was putting in more effort than he was. I know you didn't watch the show, but, like,
yeah,
that,
I had no idea.
That was the general vibe. Like, I never got a good, like, good energy from him in the sense of, like, you never saw him, like, excited to want to be with her or anything like that. It just was, and maybe I was just like, okay, maybe he's just not that outwardly affectionate. So this weekend, allaboutthetea.com, which is a website, reported that Jimmy had allegedly reconnected with a former lover in March of 2018 while Megan was pregnant with her twin sons. So apparently, like, Megan left the girl an angry voicemail, and this website also published the screenshots of the sex between Jimmy and this girl. So he said to Us Weekly in a statement that he, quote, regrettably had a lapse in judgment and engaged in an inappropriate conversation with this person, but there was no type of relationship or physical contact. Clearly, I made a very poor decision to expose myself and my family to this type of person. For this, I am truly sorry and sought forgiveness from my wife. So Megan was, like, not even remotely ready to talk about this, but kind of felt like she had to since everybody was reporting on it. So she wrote a blog post, and she says, which, by the way, if you have even 1% interest of this, read the blog post. It was the most raw, candid, like, vulnerable approach to this type of situation that I've seen in a really long time, and it wasn't long. And she writes, I found out the same way you guys did in the tabloids. I never left her voicemail for the other woman. I called Jimmy, and he confessed to me that he had exchanged lewd photos with this woman over the course of several months, and a physical relationship never existed. He paid her off to protect me so I'd never find out. Do I believe him? I don't know, because I don't trust him anymore. Physical or not, he still had an affair, and he admits this to me. She also writes in her post that one of the reasons that this is even extra challenging is because they just got the news that their son, Hart, might have a neurological disorder. So she finds out her son may have a neurological disorder. She finds out with the public that her husband has been sexting this other woman for the past, like, year, that the husband then paid this woman off. I mean, this was, like, some Tristan Thompson shit.
Yeah, no, it was – I have, like, had zero knowledge of them as people, honestly, before this. But I read that whole post, and it was heartbreaking.
It really
that
was.
That one part at the end where she talks about, like, getting in her car just to, like, be able to cry and not be, like – and the kids not see her was just – it, like, literally broke me.
I think also the reason this was probably so challenging is because you may have your own insecurities in your relationship, but when you're on reality television, like, when you're on The Housewives, that's then broadcasted to the world. And it was always a narrative. I'm not even saying the show made it a narrative, but you ask any watcher of the show that, like, Jimmy didn't care and, like, Megan was grasping on something that didn't exist. Whether or not that was true, that's what people said. So then to have this happen...
Yeah.
It's really fucked up. I don't know. She said that she thinks there's hope that they can move through it. Like, whatever she thinks, I don't know. Personally, you can't say what you would do until you're in the situation. I can imagine, though, I would have a really hard time.
Yeah.
Cheating doesn't have to be physical. Like, it's one thing to flirt with someone at a bar. It's another thing to, like, gladly accept a picture of her tits.
Also, or engage. Like, or, it's not even just accepting. It's, like, back and forth and engaging. To me, that's, like,
to me, it's like, why that's can't you fully watch porn? Cheating. You know?
Yeah.
Don't you kind of agree?
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, I guess that... I don't know.
We just – I wish you the best, Megan. I thought that was amazing that you did that. Okay. In this next news, O.J. Simpson is on Twitter. Julie, take it away.
Holy fuck. This guy has some nerve joining Twitter. He has some nerve Twitter. Yeah. People who are murderers should not be on Twitter. Twitter should not create a platform for people who are murderers. With that being said, oh, my God, I can't believe this. OJ releases a video on his Twitter denying the affair with Kris Jenner.
Wait, he starts it out by saying, listen, I have a lot of things to clear up. On here, I'm mostly going to talk about sports, but there are some other times when I'm going to talk about some other things like this. Go.
So he goes on. We had spoken about this story, I think, last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, that somebody who claimed to be OJ's former manager said that OJ had this relationship with Kris Jenner where they were on vacation once and OJ and her had sex, and the sex was so rough and he was so big apparently that she had to go to the hospital because of it. So this report comes out, and also reminder, the OJ being the father of Khloé has always been a storyline. So OJ, I cannot believe I'm saying the words OJ Simpson takes to Twitter.
I know.
I never thought it would happen. I don't know why. I just assumed he would just be smart enough to not be on social media, but I guess he doesn't care. Anyways,
just see Julie right now. She's fully fake. No, I get it. Keep going.
I'm also trying, like, so hard to not say anything. Just like,
I know. Keep going.
So he says, he's like, first of all, we never had a relationship. I was never into Kris romantically, like physically, sexually, anything. He was like, Robert Kardashian, Bobby was a brother to me. I loved him. I had no relationship with Kris. It's a lie. The person who came forward and said he was my manager was not my manager. I may have done a business deal with him, but I only had one manager the whole time throughout my career, and it was not him. And then he says, also, I am not I am not Chloe's father. I'm very proud of her. As I know Bobby would be, I'm proud of all of the girls, but I am not her father and she is not mine. Which, oh my God, I never realized I had waited my whole life to hear OJ deny the paternity.
We didn't even need Maury.
I didn't even know. Crazy. It was just like, what? He just didn't, like, don't you feel like this has been a thing for so long that this storyline has existed and everyone spoke about it? It's like, OJ's Chloe's. We always, like, expected Chloe to speak about it. I never once had the expectation that OJ Simpson was going to comment on it.
I can't believe it.
And something I was thinking about, and I wrote this, imagine how confusing it must have been for OJ to get out of prison. Reminder, he went to prison in 2008. 2017, he gets out of prison. And Bobby's family is the biggest family in America?
Yeah, we always say this, guys. There was a time when the Kardashians weren't the Kardashians. This didn't always exist. They didn't always have this fucking, like, monopoly over the entertainment industry.
So his, like, OJ's best friend, who defended him in his murder trial, all of a sudden his daughters are the biggest family in America, bigger than he was. Like, I mean, that's crazy. It's no. The whole thing is just fucking bizarre.
It really, really, really is. Also, I'm pretty sure, because we were looking at for his Twitter before, I think he's off now, or at least, right? Could you find it? I don't know.
I couldn't find it, but I also, like, don't think he's verified. And personally, I didn't follow him, because as much as I talk about OJ Simpson, there's no way I'm following him on social media, just to clarify that.
Although he was on Twitter for like a day and got like 500,000 followers. It was insane. But it's, I don't know, I couldn't find his Twitter, so they may have deleted it or whatever the deal is. But if you're looking for the video, go to Hollywood Unlocked. They had the video on their Instagram page. So yeah, that happened. Fucking crazy. Also, before we go to the award ceremony, just a reminder that Drake is a father. Who knew? We always forget. We posted like a Father's Day roundup, and in it we posted a picture that he uploaded of like a drawing that his son did for him, and Chance commented on it. And the comment section was like, wait, was I the only one that forgot Drake was a dad? And it's like, no, because we all forget. And then every time we remember, we're like, holy shit, as if you couldn't have just gotten the hottest you ever were because of Air Drake. You now have a fucking kid.
It's a good thing that he doesn't post the kid ever, because I don't think I could handle it. If he posted a picture of him and the son on Father's Day, I would have had to delete the app.
Yeah.
I would have had to.
Forget about it.
There's just no way. I would have literally, if I saw a picture of Drake and his kid on Instagram, I would have tried to delete my browser history.
I know. That's so funny. Me in the elevator. Okay. Let's transition now to our award ceremony. This is where we will crown the funniest comment and the best clapback of the week. Also important to note that now that we have a Patreon, patreon.com/commentsbycelebs, our patrons help us to vote on the comments. So nominees for funniest. First was Gwyneth Paltrow. So Jennifer Gardner posted a video of this like bear slash panda and doing some, like, I don't even know what it was doing. And she captioned it, like, my Body by Simone workout went really well this morning. And Gwyneth commented on it. Is that a bear masturbating? I need my glasses. Just, like, again, just think big picture. Gwyneth Paltrow was on Instagram commenting on a masturbating bear. Like, in
what world? On Jennifer Garner's picture.
In what world did we ever expect to see that? I'm sorry. That's peak internet. Call what you want.
Also, we had the funniest back and forth that we posted on our close friends for our Patreon people. And literally, Emma texts me and she's like, do bears masturbate? I'm genuinely, like, asking you, like, before we do this caption. I was like, why do you think I have any additional knowledge about bear masturbation than you
so
do?
Then I sent her, like, a thing, and it's like, 10 animals. I'm like, I had no idea. It was so
I was
funny.
Like, I think all animals masturbate.
So we made the caption, like, bears, they're just like us. Okay, second one was Zach Braff. He posted a picture of himself on a train looking out the window, and the caption was, bye for now, UK, I love you. And someone comments, when will you come in Italy? I'm waiting. And he responds, I've come many times in Italy. It was glorious. This is, like, Zach, this is our humor to a T.
Clear winner, by the fucking way.
Clear winner. Like, obviously he was capitalizing on the fact that the guy had, like, a little bit of a grammar slash language barrier error, but the way that he did it was just... When will you come in Italy? I've come in. So wait, so we're talking about the caption. So when we saw that one, we're like, okay, we can do an epic caption for this. Like, it's that's so in our wheelhouse. Like, this is where we thrive. And then we realized there were too many options that
we
really
were, like, literally overheating. Like it was like all systems failure because it was like in overdrive.
Yeah, it was in overdrive.
I was like, yeah, I had the most amazing orgasm in Florence. I'm like,
so you know, he's not wrong.
I don't know if we can caption that.
It's really funny. Okay. Moving on. So congratulations, Zach Braff. By the way, he's been killing it recently.
He's great.
I can't believe he doesn't follow us. He only follows like 100 people.
Yeah. He's a more low-key social media. He's like a David Spade kind
of. Yeah. Ooh, I like that comparison. I love when you just analogize me. Is that how you would say it?
I guess.
Yeah. I made it into a verb. Okay. So for Clapback, two nominees. The first, we didn't actually post this, but it happened on our post. So we posted, as you guys know, Chrissy Teigen is like loving this 50 Cent like being owed money by people headline as much as all of us are. So she tweeted like, I want to start a company lending people money to pay back 50 Cent. And he posted a picture of the Page Six article that wrote, Chrissy Teigen to start loan sharking business for 50 Cent debtors. And she comments, fuck, I will never quit this app. And it was a picture of her. And so someone on our post that we did writes, what happened to her face? And she responds, I gained 20 pounds, 12 in my face. Just like peak Chrissy.
So good.
So good. The second was not voted on by our patrons because this happened in the last 30 minutes right before we recorded this episode.
We love this one.
Yeah, it was so good. So Ciara posted a screenshot from the video or a clip from the video, Taylor Swift's new video, where she is marrying Jesse Tyler and his husband, Justin Makita. And she writes, wedding is lit, hashtag equality. And someone comments, Ciara, you shouldn't be doing this. We respect you too much. Being at a gay wedding is one thing, and joining them together is even a more greater sin. We love you, but this is wrong, because in the picture she was officiating. And she responds, firstly, Christians don't judge. Secondly, hashtag you need to calm down, which is the name of Taylor Swift's song. Genius.
And by the way, while we were recording, Taylor Swift did like that picture,
yeah.
which is a big deal. No, she doesn't often like
she's
things.
Not, yeah, she's not an active liker, I feel like. So we saw that, we're like, oh, shit. Okay, congratulations, Ciara. You are this week's winner for Best Clapback of the Week. Let's transition now to our Kardashian recap. A lot happened this week.
Yeah.
As it always does. First, let's talk about Kim at the White House because, I'm sorry, she's a savage.
Fucking killing it.
She basically went to the White House talking about criminal justice reform, and she was praising Trump's stance on criminal justice and spoke about, you know, being at a place in her life where she just wanted to do more and make a difference. And she announced that she partnered with Lyft to give prisoners reentering society like free rides to job interviews, to find housing, to visit family, et cetera. Because as you know, like former inmates who enter the regular world again, it's the odds are stacked against them. Like number one, they have that and when someone does a background check, but also they have no resources. So you go in for anybody, you're away from society basically for however many years, and you come out and you're expected to just make it. And it's just not that easy. They give you a bus ticket and are like, okay, figure it out. So a lot of this activism is involved in helping people to, I guess, you know, create a better life or have the means to. So I think, one, that's such an example of a celebrity doing something that actually makes a difference, like actually partnering with Lyft. Because think about it. Transportation is huge. How are you can even get a job if you can't even get to the interview? We don't think about things like that.
No. And it's such a big point. And all of this is about keeping recidivism rates low. So the whole idea, and it's true, is that if people have a support system and they have a job and they have a place to live and society makes it easier for them to reenter, then the chances of them reoffending are so much lower. If you stack them against them and you're just ending up in this cycle where, you know, you're not letting somebody get a job because they're a prisoner, okay, what do you want them to do? Like, if you go to jail because you, let's say, were dealing drugs, right, and you get arrested and you come out and now you can't get a job because you were in jail, what do you think you're going to go back to? The only other way you know how to make money, and it's just, it's so, Kim just keeps stepping up. It's one thing to, you know, advocate for this. It's another thing to then go to the White House to create actual change, then to go to law school, then to actually partner with somebody who can give you a concrete ability to do this. It's just beyond. She just keeps stepping up in every single way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, in awe of her completely.
Totally. That was for all of us, like, Kim supporters, that was a moment where we're like, yeah.
By the way, if you're not a Kim supporter, like, get on fucking board, because there should be, I just don't understand. There should be no reason that anybody is like, I don't know. I've seen a lot of things where like somebody tweeted about Kim praising Trump's like support of criminal justice reform. And it's like, first of all, if Kim wants to get stuff done, then like, yeah, she's going to have to praise Trump's, you know, doing this. And maybe there's a lot of things that Trump has done in the past that don't show this, but that's not Kim's fault. Like, Kim is doing something that I think that we can all rally around here, and to pick on her for that aspect of it is just ridiculous. It's counterproductive.
Totally. But she, and also she's vocal about the fact that she doesn't agree with all of his policies. She's talking about this one particular thing. What's that expression? I'm going to fuck it up. It's like, cut off your nose. Yeah, cut off your nose to spite your face or whatever. Like,
yeah.
for her to be like, you know what? I'm bigger than that because of how much I disagree with Trump's policies. I'm not even going to engage. It's like, okay, fine. Then more people will be in prison. Like, she made the conscious decision of like, I have to kind of put my pride aside and recognize that it's bigger than my own political beliefs. Also, if you know anything about Trump, like, he needs some sort of like positive reinforcement and praise. And the fact that she's such a big celebrity, of course that's going to go farther. Like she's so smart at what she does. That's such a strategy for people to think that it's anything but that is just so unintelligent.
And it's getting the outcome, not just that she wants, but that like is required that we need.
We talk about this one like line every single episode. I feel like it's so true. When she said to Van Jones, let me tell you something. The people in prison don't give a shit who did it. They don't care if it was Trump, if it was Obama, who signed it. They just care that they're out of prison. And to me, that line is like speaks for itself. We have nothing else to say on that. Case closed on that one. Okay. Let's move on to Blac Chyna. This was some shit. So, I don't know. It's like, I have thoughts. Let me tell you what happened. So, Blac Chyna takes to Instagram to post 4 slides of a note. I'm going to read you this entire thing. Don't you think I should, Julie? It's not
that long. Because you're the best reader in the whole world.
No, but don't think it's not long.
Yes.
So she writes, as executive producer of my show, it's very unfortunate that Rob could not simply have an adult conversation with me, the mother of his child, Dream Kardashian, appearing on my show, The Real Blac Chyna. Had Rob contacted me directly rather than through his attorney, Marty Singer, Rob would have learned about Dream's participation in the show. First and foremost, I would never allow my 2-year-old daughter to be subjected to long hours on the set. Also, the very real and intense drama that happened between my mother and I during the filming of The Real Blac Chyna took place outside of the presence of my daughter. I would never allow my daughter to be present as me and my mom tried to work through our many issues to reach peace in our relationship. Before I continue, the scene that they're talking about is when her and her mom, Tokyo Toni, had a fucking blowout in the kitchen to the point where security had to hold them back from like beating the shit out of each other, just so that you're all aware as to where we are. Again, had Rob directly contacted me to discuss, he would have learned that as the executive producer of my show, I have the ability to control which scenes are included in the show. However, I also would have pointed out to Rob the hypocrisy of his family's insistence that Dream appear on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, ready for this line, guys, in the family's desperate attempt to boost the dismal ratings for their stale and contrived show without my approval, including in a desperate attempt to boost the dismal ratings, including an entire scene being Dream's birthday party, again, without my consent. My show is about my life, and my kids are a huge part of my life. It's really sad that everything I do to better myself or my family, the same people have something to say to stop or hinder it. Let me take a second here.
Let me say a couple of things.
Yeah.
First of all, I think that it makes perfect sense that Rob went through a lawyer. Like, how is that an issue? It makes no, like, also, you know your past. Wouldn't you be happy that this is being mediated by somebody that isn't you to keep it from getting out of hand?
She's acting like they're A-Rod and J-Lo on, like, amazing terms with their kids. She's acting like they're, like, J-Lo and Mark Anthony.
Yeah, like,
and
it's so out of left field that he would contact a lawyer.
If he knows what's good for him, of course he'll come with a lawyer.
Okay. Keeping going with my opinions. Let me just take a second to say, like, I do understand where she is coming from with wanting to give permission for her daughter to be featured on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Awfully bold of her that to assume that Dream would be the person to boost ratings if they are in trouble. That's kind of a crazy.
Let me tell you something. We like Dream just as much as the next guy. We are always in her corner saying she's cute and she doesn't get the attention she deserves. That being said, the 5 seconds we're seeing at Dream in the course of a 1-hour episode is not what's keeping the show alive.
And by the way, I would say that about any of the kids, as cute as they are.
Yeah.
It's not like showing Saint a little bit more is going to boost ratings. We may appreciate it more, but it's, as a whole, it's not going to do anything.
Let me tell you something. In yesterday's episode for the Kardashian recap, we talked, this episode was really bad. It could be called, quote, stale, in the words of Blac Chyna. The kids weren't in it at all. Are we still going to watch it? Absolutely. So, like,
would the kids have changed things? Maybe for us, but not for everybody.
It's like, if you want to make this point about how you should have gotten permission to be on for Dream to be on the show, you're right. Fine. I can stand behind that. But don't then throw in the inaccurate dig that the show in its stale and contrived state trying to get ratings. Get the fuck out of here. Like, tell me something I can believe.
Also, am I wrong? But the way that I perceived it was like, and the way she said in the beginning about like hours on set and all of these things, like it didn't seem, in my opinion, like Rob was saying, no, she can't be on at all. It was just like Rob was saying, like, I want to talk about when she's going to be on and what she's going to be exposed to.
Well, that's the thing. We're kind of working with limited information here, and obviously we're not going to get it from Rob's side. I don't know.
That's how it seemed to me. Did it seem like that to you, or you thought that he was saying that you're going to be on
it at all? I wasn't sure. I mean, as I was reading that, the reason I was stumbling sometimes is because it was written so poorly that I had to like make sense of what the words were. Listen, there are a lot of, I think that what Rob did with Blac Chyna in terms of the revenge porn is absolutely unforgivable, disgusting, probably the most public form of disrespect you can give to a woman. There's nothing he could ever say to me that would forgive that.
Correct.
So let me be super clear in that. Okay, that aside, I'm not even, forget about taking his side because I'm not. I, in my opinion, do not think that Blac Chyna ever was in love with Rob. I think she was incredibly calculated in terms of wanting to be associated with this family because whether or not you like them, an association equates to monetary value. It's the same reason that Stas, although she's not friends with Kylie for her fame, being best friends with Kylie Jenner gets her 300,000 followers in a weekend and then ups her price per Instagram post. So, like, let's call a spade here.
Yes.
Okay? I just think that Blac Chyna is a clout chaser. I think this is, like, just bullshit, honestly. I don't know.
It's very classic. It's very typical and it's very classic. And
you know something? I don't give a shit. If your mom, to me, I think I would want, I'm not saying she's not a good mom. I'm sure she is. But Tokyo Toni, her mom, not just what we've seen on the show, what we've seen her do in her own life and her own Instagram rants recently, I wouldn't want my kids near that woman. She very visibly has like a major drug problem. She's going on saying the most disgusting, hateful, homophobic things, like spewing this nastiness. I can't get behind it. I just can't.
I can't either. I'm so with you.
Yeah. In happier news, though, it was North and P's birthday party, which was Candyland themed and amazing. I will say there was not as much Instagram story footage as we would typically like.
I know. I wanted so much more.
Yeah, that was a little.
My guess of why is I think that sometimes at these parties, it's now like getting harder to get just family footage. And then you have to be cautious of, you know, North and Penelope's friends that are like running around the party that have nothing to do with fame and obviously don't have their consent to, you know, just post them on Instagram as their leisure. So I think that's probably why we're seeing a little bit less.
Totally. I think you're right. Julie writes, do you think all three babies will have a joint birthday going forward? You mean
The triplets, like, quote.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have, I mean, they obviously didn't have joint first birthdays, but I don't know.
I think they there's a
big gap between True's birthday and Chicago's birthday. It's like a couple of months, like probably 4 months, but there's no way they would do True and Stormy together and not include Chicago. So they'll either do it all as one party or not do it. I don't know.
I could totally see that happening. I mean, who knows? The thing was amazing. Kim wore her hair in the way that North wanted to. Like, she wanted to be matching. So Kim had her makeup, like, very – not her typical Mario. And, like, her hair also very different to match with North. The whole thing was really cute. I don't know.
It was adorable. Do you think North and Penelope are going to, like, get to an age where they don't want to do birthdays together anymore?
I guess it's possible. But also, I feel like because they're in school together, they have the same friends. They're in the same circle.
I think they love the idea of, like, being raised as, like, quote, cousin twins.
It's so fun. Especially because neither of them – well, first of all, Penelope doesn't have any sisters. And North doesn't have any sisters that are her similar age. So I think they love it. They're of such a power, like, duo.
But I could see North getting to an age where she's like, okay, this is my day and I don't want to have to share it anymore.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
So fine. Also, this was really weird. So Caitlin posted for Father's Day – just like a post, you know, thanking all of the fathers in her life. And she, on the initial post, left out Scott, which we were all like, oh my God. Like, there wasn't any mention of him. There wasn't any picture. And, like, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes later, she re-uploaded it with him in it. Some were saying, like, she wouldn't be that calculated with this. And others were saying, like, yeah, like, it was really just a misstep. What do you think?
I don't know. I thought it was weird. You know who else she didn't include was her daughter's husband.
Do you know who that is? I don't know the name.
I don't know the name either, but it was like a lot of people were commenting and saying it. She didn't include him. And when she re-uploaded, I mean, they're also very private, which is why we don't really know enough to say, but they have kids together. So it was interesting that she didn't. I had no expectation that she would put Tristan in there. I thought it was really weird that she left Scott out.
Do you think that it's possible it was just a mistake?
I don't know. I can't
There's
imagine
There's so many to
that,
keep track of. Well, just because we can never imagine not
I just can't
Scott.
Imagine that she would forget about Scott. I mean, they were like, they had their issues. And then when Caitlin was transitioning, I felt Scott was so incredibly supportive and so, like, they had finally reached this understanding. Remember, they had that whole conversation where Scott was like, it makes me feel so much better that this is what you are going through, because I always felt a rift between us. And now I can finally, like, put a finger on it and say, like, it wasn't my fault. You were going through something separate and that's why you were unable to have a relationship. So to me, it was surprising considering that she didn't include him in that roundup or didn't include him. I, first of all, consider all posts that are like carousel posts a roundup now.
Yeah, that's what we call them.
Yeah, fully. TM roundup.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could have been a mistake. I'm not saying she like did it absolutely to throw shade. There's no question about it. But it just, how do you forget Scott?
I don't know.
How do you forget also like Mason's father? Caitlin and Mason had the most, I mean, they still may, but had the most incredible relationship when Mason was really young, especially. They may not anymore because Courtney and Caitlin obviously aren't as close considering everything that happened with the family. But to me, it feels very weird that Caitlin would just forget about the father of Mason.
I don't know. The jury's out on that one. I really don't know. The whole thing was kind of weird. Is there anything else major in Kardashian news other than we said in the other episode, Kim psoriasis being perfectly timed with the KKW beauty launch?
I don't think so. I'm very interested, though, to see the one thing that people are saying about the body lotion and the body makeup is whether or not it rubs off on things. So I'm very interested to see that. But I don't think there's any other major news.
I don't think so either. Well, guys, another week in the books.
I had fun today. You?
I always do. I had the best time. We love you guys. Remember, if you feel so inclined, it really, really helps us when you review and rate. So please, please do that. And our Patreon, patreon.com/commentsbycelebs, in case you want to be included in the group of people that freak out about all this stuff with us.
Yeah, if you want to be cool, join our Patreon. If you don't want to be, don't.
Okay, we'll see you next week.
Let's talk about something near and dear to our hearts, our furry companions. Life is full of unexpected twists, just like the ones we love to uncover about our favorite celebs. But sometimes those twists involve our four-legged friends. Imagine navigating the unpredictable world of pet parenthood, where every day is a new adventure. Our partner, Spot Pet Insurance, wants to share a message to help make sure you're prepared for any unexpected curveballs, whether it's a sudden illness or an unplanned trip to the vet. Spot Pet Insurance can be your secret weapon against the unexpected. With Spot, you can get up to 90% cash back on eligible vet bills, helping you with those surprising expenses that seem to pop up when you least expect them. But wait, there's more. Spot Pet Insurance plans go beyond just offering coverage for accidents and illnesses. You can enhance your plan with their preventive care benefit, ensuring that routine wellness, vaccines, and more can be covered too. Head over to spotpet.com today to get a quote instantly. Trust us, it's the easiest thing you'll do to help secure the well-being of your dog or cat. Visit www.spotpet.com today. Paid ad from Spot Pet Insurance. Waiting periods, annual deductible, coinsurance, benefit limits, and exclusions may apply. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC.